Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's going on, AfterBuzz family? You knocked and we are buzzing you in. It is time, sadly, for the last episode in Meeting of the Minds digitally for Insecure on AfterBuzz TV. I'm your host, McCall Hall. And again, it's been 10 weeks and I still haven't met these three amazing people, but I'm going to let them go around the horn, introduce themselves, and we'll get into the rest of the episode, starting with our resident Lawrence Hive. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm Kenneth Ware, the president of the Lawrence Hive out here in LA, and I have some BLM supporters with me. We got a DJ, Karma Camille. We got Eric Jordan, Jessica. We have a stand-in from Insecure, my sister Denisha. She was a stand-in for Pandola, and then we have Jamal. Everybody up in there. So yes, we all have on the I Can't Breathe, Stop Killing Us, you know, those type shirts. So we're getting those social messages, justice messages out.
And our lady in red, what's up?
Hey y'all, it's Carla Renata, the Curvy Critic. It's great to be here for this last show. I'm ready to get this party started.
And all the way from Virginia.
What's up, guys? It's Mia. Yes, different background for last episode. I'm self-isolating with my parents. Miss them, had to see them, but I'm excited to be here. And also, I would say I'm co-president of the Lawrence Hive, or maybe vice president, maybe secretary, maybe every role. I don't know. I love Lawrence, so I'm with Kenny on this one.
Yes, by VP. We like Barack and Biden.
Yes.
I don't want to be Debbie Downer here, and I also don't want to promote black-on-black violence, but both of y'all can go to hell with your Lawrence Hive. I don't care about Lawrence.
Okay, McCall, so you mad about that, but we're Team Lawrence all day, and we're very supportive of him, so you can keep that up in Washington.
We'll talk more about that later. But, you know, one thing I do know is whether you're Team Lawrence, Team Issa, Team Molly, Team Amal, it doesn't matter. If you're Team Black, you're in the right place, and I would go so far as to say I think we're all a part of Team Black. Obviously, with Kenneth and his crew. So I just want to have a quick check-in, because what I've realized, we're all dealing with a lot, right? We're dealing with the fact that we're stuck in the house. We're dealing with the fact that we're Black and stuck in the house. And we're dealing with the fact that when we walk out of the house and be Black, we may not get home. So I just want to check in with everybody. How are you doing? Where are you at? Have you been able to participate in any of the Black Lives Matter protests? So Mia, I'll let you go ahead and start there, and Kenneth will have you round it out at the end.
Yeah, so I live in DC. I'm right there. You've seen all the stories. It's definitely insane, but I went to one protest out there, and I thought I was going to go and feel really low afterwards, and just totally just heartbroken all over again, but I actually left feeling more hopeful. There were so many walks of life, so many different people. You see so many signs from all these people from these different communities here to support us. So that was actually nice to leave feeling hopeful. And then I went to JMU. So I went to a small march with, again, a mixed group, allies, Black folk, all of us together. And everyone told stories about, problematic things we experienced at the university as a PWI, and things that they can do better on. And that was a really productive conversation. It was a very supportive group, and that was really nice. But I mean, every day, like I said, I'm isolating with my parents now. We've been having these conversations. And one thing that we talked about is that it's interesting that it's when we as Black folk have these conversations, like the whole world's having conversations right now, right? But when we talk about it, we're reliving trauma, and we have to deal with, we're grieving the loss of these people who are brothers and sisters. We don't know them personally, but I mean, it's a lot. But I'm just glad to see that, even though we have to have these conversations that are so stressful and traumatic, there's people not of color who are having these conversations in their homes and talking to their parents and opening their eyes. And so it sucks that it's taken this long, but I'm glad it's happening. So there's a little spark of hope. What about you, Carla?
You know, I'm caretaker for my mom, so I can't be out protesting because we are still in the midst of a pandemic. COVID-19 is still out there. We don't have a vaccine. We don't know what's happening with that. And I don't want to put my mom at risk nor myself. Having said that, I have found a way to be active and be involved at home. I'm a member of Color of Change. So we do some outreach once a week by texting and calling people to get them to reach out to their legislative branches to vote and make calls on behalf of the people that can't. So we did a big spearheading campaign in Minnesota on behalf of George Floyd and that whole defund the police situation there. And apparently our calls and our texts made a difference. So that's what I'm doing on this end.
And definitely just as a Black man, even when I go jogging in the neighborhood, thinking about Ahmaud or thinking about Breonna Taylor, you can just be in your home, or both of them in Dallas, where he was in his home and she bust in there and shot and killed him. I mean, it's anxiety that you deal with when a white person is pulled over. They may be thinking like, oh, I'm going to get a ticket. Every time I'm pulled over, it's like, okay, are my hands on the wheel? Where's my registration? Where's my license? Like, it's just that built-in trauma that we deal with all the time. And racism isn't anything new in America. So a lot of these conversations that we're having with people are just like, oh, I can't believe this is going on. It's like, no, open your eyes. It's happening. It's been happening for over 400 years. Like, we didn't just move here. We didn't just relocate and say, oh, you know what? Let's go try America. No, slavery. Like, stop it. So stop shooting us. And just so many different things. So I went to one of the protests in Hollywood and I recorded some footage, and it was I didn't know how I would feel, but it was very uplifting to see so many people from so many different walks of life, just that support. And even the people that like trying to figure it out, like, hey, what can I do? And then like, that's the first of like, let's figure it out together. So it was really good to see everybody marching. And I mean, just around the country. So.
Absolutely. And thank you guys for sharing, you know, what you guys have been doing. I'll share. So I work for the University of Southern California in the athletic department, and my job is to ensure that we're giving back to our community. And this is one of those times in my life, and I was telling my friends, I've never had so much overlap in my personal life and my professional life. And I'm sitting in boardrooms with, you know, administrations for the university, talking about how we can give back to our community and how we can meaningfully give and not just write a check and turn the other page. And one of the things I just want to encourage everybody to do is to challenge, whether it's a corporation, where you work, just, you know, any conversation that you're having, make sure that people understand, number one, to get educated about our plight and where what we have gone through in this country is step one. If you do not identify as Black, if you don't understand the struggle, number one, make sure that you have a basic level of education, because to everybody's point, we're having conversations. And there are literally some people who think, to Kenneth's point, that we just hopped on a boat, put that thing in overdrive and showed up here in South Carolina to the point of no return and decided to work for free. That's not how it happened. And there are so many deep rooted issues in this country because of slavery and then because of segregation and all the other things that come with being Black. We need to make sure that our allies are educated and encourage them to educate themselves. I also will add to that I'm Black. The rest of my co-hosts, I believe, identify as Black, right? It is not my job, right, to educate everyone. And I do want to just stress that, because for a moment in time for me, I thought I had to educate everybody. And that's not my job. We all have this thing called Google. It's on your phone. If you're like me, you got two phones. There's no excuse not to get educated. But I will say this, you know, like I said, if you consider yourself to be an ally, education is key. And I get that everybody wants to hop in and help. But when you act anxious and you're just trying to do something and be reactive, that can come across as trying to pacify. And I just encourage allies to listen more than you act right now, and then act with intention and compassion and empathy. And if you are Black, this is totally from the left field. I don't think anybody saw this coming, but get life insurance. And I say this because if you have $1 million life insurance plan, I mean, they're killing us right and left, right? And if we think about economic impacts, everything in this country is based off the economic impact. And we know that Black people are killed at alarming rates and more than any other group in this country. Imagine if all these people who are being murdered had $1 million, $2 million life insurance plan. I think that the life insurance policy and that economy would certainly take note of these policies being paid out and hitting their bottom line and would raise more questions and want to find solutions. So do your part and hit economies. This is an economic battle that we're approaching, and it's going to remain that way. And we have to make sure that our dollar is felt just as much as our presence on the street. That's my take.
Beautifully said.
So get life insurance. If you don't have at least $1 million life insurance plan, go on and get it. You know, if you're under the age of 40, you know, you're looking at no more than I would say 50 or 60 bucks a month on a high end. They're readily available. So make sure you guys get insured. That would make these cops think twice, because when you start hitting CFO's bottom line, they change their tune. So last question regarding the Black Lives Matter movement and media. We all work in media. We all have expertise in media. When it comes to commercial response, is there any one company that's done it right? Because I can name a whole bunch that have done it wrong, but that wouldn't be productive. But is there any one company that's done it right?
I would say that Twitter is leading the charge with that. I know they were the first ones to make Juneteenth a holiday. And to just really be more invested in the Black community. People that work there, they have that Black Twitter cohort group, and they do a lot of different things. So I think Twitter and the CEO, he's been doing a lot of different things. But like you said, there are a lot of people that are doing things wrong. And it's just because they don't know. And it's because you have, at the top level, you have 10 to 15 white people. So there's no people of color or diversity. So they don't even know where to start the conversation. But I'll say that Twitter is doing a great job.
Anybody else have an idea of who's doing it right?
I will say I think the companies who are doing it right now are the ones putting their money on the line. If you aren't putting your money on the line for us, like, a statement's not helping anybody. I want to see you say, I don't care if we lose buyers. I don't care if we lose customers. Like, I mean, clearly Jeff Bezos, a little wonky there. Clearly he's controversial, but he literally was posting things saying, you know, if this is the email I'm going to get from you saying awful things about our Black Lives banner, honestly, don't buy from us. Like, that's what I want to see. I want to see you willing to lose customers. I want to see you giving ad spots to free for Black creators. I want to see you just really just putting your money where your mouth is, essentially. I think that's important.
Absolutely. And I will say that giving money is nice, but there are some companies, and I'm not going to say who, not on this platform, I'm not going to say it out loud who I'm attacking, but there are some companies that have pledged money. And when you really think about it, those amounts of money over the next 10 years are really a drop in the bucket. And I will say that if you're going to write a check, that's really more for you than it is anybody else, in my opinion. And I would like to see companies talk about what they're doing for the Black employees that they have inside of their workforce, right? You have companies that are writing multi-million dollar checks to whatever cause, because we never know where that money ends up. But we don't know if your Black employees are being paid fairly and the market rate for whatever their job title is. How about start there? Start at home. Don't just cut a check to pacify us and act like it doesn't matter. Because I can tell you right now, some of these companies have put out statements and written checks, have Black women working there at 64% of what they would pay a white guy. Yeah. You're hustling backwards, in my opinion. That's just me. So anyways, police brutality has to stop. Black people in this country need an opportunity to become a part of the economic system in a much bigger way. And we need to be repaid for the $97 trillion. And I say that again, $97 trillion of free labor. And I think we could all agree that it's way overdue, way overdue. Yes, and with ma'am. That, I'm hearing a bunch of rain. So you guys, if my Wi-Fi goes out, I'll get back on. I'm in Seattle and we're in the middle of a storm in the middle of June. Anyways, So in honor of the last episode of Insecure, I'm going to pop some Mo. We got a little Mo. So I don't know.
She got the Moet.
Y'all sipping on, but I'm getting ready to get it started. So speaking of mentality, let me just say this. I watched Insecure last night 4 times. That episode, I have not loved an episode of Insecure like that in a long time. Kudos to Penny. Is there anybody else involved in that episode, whether it was writing, directing? Is there anybody else we need to shout out? Because it was done and done very well.
He wrote the episode as well.
He wrote it?
Yes.
Hey, give him a raise. Give him a raise in the bottle of Mo. Because
And he made a cameo as the security guard. Yes.
I watched it 4 times and didn't get that part. On the Mo. So police brutality, you guys, let's hop into the first relationship. We're going to go through relationships because, you know, we only have a selected amount of time. So we're going to go through and talk about the relationship between Derek and Tiffany. We're going to talk about Issa and Nathan, Issa and Molly, Molly and Asian Bay, Andrew. And then we're going to close it out with Issa and Lawrence and contraceptive. All right. So Derek, Tiffany, we see Tiffany's family completely distraught. They don't know where she's at. Derek doesn't know where she's at, and the whole crew goes on an excursion to find this woman. Just number one, reactions, Mia.
Well, honestly, McCall, I thought of you first, because I was like, she's always onto something. I mean, it isn't the same. I think you earlier, like your prediction was like they'd get divorced, and I mean, it wasn't that yet, but I thought of you, and I was like, she's so good at sniffing things out. Like, something's wrong. She knew it. We all kind of knew it, but I don't know. This made me love Derek more. I mean, he's already great, but just that moment, oh, when they saw each other, I don't know if I'm hopping ahead, but just when they saw each other, oh my gosh, my heart was there. And like, he wasn't worried or mad the way they just were like, I'm sorry. And Amanda Seals is fantastic. It just, I love that whole scene. But yeah, I just loved it.
I want to address the part about that particular relationship that strongly addressed postpartum depression, because we never see that depicted on screen, and we particularly don't see it on screen in regards to Black women. And Tiffany is somebody that is all about looking perfect. She wants perfect appearances about her life from the top to the bottom. And this exposed her in a way that we'd never seen her exposed before. And that's real. Like, women, when they have babies, they don't know how to emotionally or sometimes physically handle that, because a child does not come with a handbook or, you know, a manual. You got to just figure it out. And no matter how many people you know that have had children, every child that comes onto this earth is different, with their own personality, their own little sets of quirks, their own little thing. And when a baby is crying and you are changing a diaper and trying to breastfeed it or trying to give them whatever you think they need and it's not happening, that's a lot mentally. And so I'm really, really glad that they addressed it in that way and showed the most extreme version of it that they could show. But that does happen, and I'm glad that they addressed that in that way.
Absolutely. Kenneth, anything you want to add to the scene with Derek and Tiff?
I'm just glad that they addressed the postpartum depression and Amanda Seals. We see her always in that comedic role. So it was really good to see her. Her and Derek shared a tender moment. It was a beautiful moment between a husband and a wife. He's a real one for that. Like, Tiffany has a good man. He rallied her friends so that they can find her. And I mean, when she opened the door, and I mean, that was just a tender moment between a husband and a wife. So I'm glad that they got that out, and that hopefully moving forward, we'll see her in a better place with the baby as well. But that was a very tender moment and written beautifully.
It was. And the one thing I want to just point out, going back to everybody's appreciation for Derek, when he was on the bus, he was thinking about everything that he did wrong. It never went to Tiffany. It was always, dang, I could have done more. I was trying to listen. his amount of, and I keep saying the word empathy, but it was beautiful to see, because at no point was he on the attack. He was just trying to make sure that she had a safe space to do whatever she needed to do. And I think a lot of guys should take note of how Derek responded to that situation, because he could have acted bat crazy. I mean, you left your baby and nobody knows where you're at. Some people would have acted a fool, and he chose not to. And when you choose to leave with love, it's just a more productive outcome, in my opinion. So I love to see it. It was beautifully done. Next up, I want to talk about Issa and Nathan. So we found out in the last episode that Nathan is acquiring the barbershop from the older guy. And now Issa wants to kind of work with him and do some business together now that he has this really great event space. Does anybody think this is a good idea, a bad idea, considering Issa is very much, to what we know now, still in a relationship with Lawrence? Anybody have any feedback about Issa and Nathan having a business relationship?
I will say, as the president of the Lawrence Hive, I just want to thank Nathan for that apology, because he hated on him on the previous episode when she told him that she was back with him, and he was like, all these negative things, very spiteful comments. So I'm just thankful that he came back, and it just showed that he was a grown man from Houston, not just a grown man, and that he was able to put his differences aside. And he's supportive of her. He was inspired by her to even put in on this barbershop and this unit, and wants to even give her the space. So they had a very adult conversation. I don't feel like Issa wants to continue that sexual relationship with him. And then when she stopped it, you know, he respects her. So at the beginning, I'd be like, nah, you just need to leave that alone. Don't even talk to Nathan or whatever. But I think they're in a good place.
Yeah, kudos to him for admitting that when she said she was back, when he tried it and she said she was back with Lawrence, he said that that made him feel some kind of way, and he needed to like get his head together when she told him that. Kudos. The thing about the writing for this episode, what Prentice did is I think he captured everybody's voices perfectly, especially the male voices for this episode. Like you mentioned, McCall, about Derek on the bus, you know, him having that moment of trying to realize if Tiffany ran off because he wasn't doing enough for her. And the same thing goes for Nathan. Nathan's like, I shouldn't guilt this sister into, you know, feeling bad because I wanted to hit it. And she and she's like, yo, I'm trying to like do this thing over here. And like you said, Kenneth, about him acknowledging the fact that he was foul when he called out Lawrence before. So there were so many different layers of that, and it was so beautiful. The whole episode was beautiful, but each moment where it dealt with the guys being really raw was really special for this particular episode.
It was absolutely beautiful and raw, and we got to see the male emotions from like every different angle, and we have not been able to see that in the four seasons of Insecure. But better late than never. We need to have these conversations right now. We have Black men going out and getting killed in the middle of the street. We know y'all cry. We know you guys go through stuff. So I to Carla's point, Prentice did a great job of writing voice, and then the actress did a great job of bringing that voice to life. So kudos all around. Nathan is now a former roommate to Andrew, aka Asian Bay. We see Andrew pop back up in this episode as if he's the help, in my opinion. So Andrew and Molly went to a couple of her work events, and Andrew just basically, from what we can gather, feels like she's not making him a priority, and that his presence in her life is not that important. I don't know if he feels like he's a trophy or whatever the case may be, but they're not aligned, according to Andrew. And we see them have a breakdown where Molly is basically begging for them to work it out. Number one, does Andrew have a right to be mad? And was Molly's act, and I'm calling it an act, but was her gesture and effort to get them back together, do you think it worked? Do you think it was genuine? So I'll let you guys jump out there. I'm not going to call anybody, but give me some.
Well,
I was going to say, I want to first say, speaking really quick to Nathan, just how we covered postpartum depression. We're doing 2 episodes in one, but I think it's important to mention that they did cover mental health and the fact that he was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. And they talked about it. That conversation last episode was powerful. It was important. Again, something that's not talked about enough in the Black community. I'm glad we're talking about it more. And to see that conversation of him explaining why, you know, he's like, I'm sorry, I disappeared. And to see him get the help he needed, I thought that was really important. So I didn't want to leave that out. But as far as Nathan and Molly, I believed Molly for a second when she was talking to him, but I think it happened right after everything with Tiffany and Derek. And I think she was coming off of seeing that moment, that tender moment, like Kenneth said, between them. I think she was feeling like, I want that. Like, I want a healthy relationship. I want something stable. I want to be there and to be open. And I'm glad it inspired her to be open. I mean, this is just me observing. I don't know if that's why all of a sudden, you know, Molly softened up, but I don't know. I believed her for a second. And I think maybe she actually does want it. I think she was struggling to say in that moment that she does want it because she's scared still. Molly is so broken in so many ways between like her dad, like what happened with her dad and her mom. I think she is learning to open up, and I usually never go this easy on Molly, but I do think that maybe she did want it. I don't know. I think she was just scared to say it. What do you guys think?
I think that I think she's selfish. I think that he was right in saying that she, you know, if the situation had been reversed and he wanted to go off and leave her to go do something with one of his friends, which did happen in a previous episode, it was a thing. She made a big deal out of it, you know, and he went anyway, but she still made a big deal out of it. And he's flipping over and bending over backwards, trying to make her happy. And he doesn't see her doing the same thing for him. So there's that. And in terms of her wanting it, I think there's some validity in what Mia said about her seeing what was going on with Derek and Tiffany, especially in that bus scene, you know, and when they were in the hallway hugging. Everybody wants that. Everybody wants that kind of man to love them. Everybody. I don't care, or woman to love them. I don't care who you are. Everybody wants that. But Molly is the type of person that she gets in her own way. She's selfish. She can't see anything beyond what she wants in that moment. And that's why her relationship with Issa has started to deteriorate, because she doesn't think about anybody other than herself.
Carla, like you said it. I can't agree with you more. I can't agree with you more, Carla. I just wanted to say that real quick. I'm sorry, Kenneth, go ahead.
No, it's all right. Same here. Like you said, everything is on Molly's schedule. And if you look at each episode, like you see even the last time, like they were getting some food. And when she walked in with the food, he was like, I thought we were having another type of food. And she was like, oh, no, I didn't want to wait for that. Watching LaToya, the show. Oh, no, I don't want to watch it right now. Like, everything is on her schedule. And she believes that, like, okay, well, if I bring you to a work event, then that makes up for it. And it's like you said, Carla, it's like she's very selfish, and it's just not a good look. So it's not looking good for them. I don't think they'll be.
But do you guys think that she changed by the end, though? Because all of that is true, but by the end, after that moment, do you think that she
in that moment when she, like, that still shot of her in her eyes and she's just trying to figure it out, I believe she wants that. But I don't know if she wants that with him.
And that's the key.
Yeah, I can see that.
Here's what I just want to ask, point blank. Does Molly want to work it out because everybody knows about this guy? I mean, think about Molly's dating history. Has she introduced her significant other to everybody? Like, this is the longest relationship, and she told her therapist, this is the longest relationship I've had. Low key, I feel like Molly just doesn't want to be embarrassed. That's what it is.
You know what it is? Somebody in the chat room, Tasha Hartzog, hey, big ups to you, makes a really good point. She says that Molly's a lawyer. She wants to win. And I think that's a really valid point. She treats her relationships like it's a court case or a deposition or something that she has to, you know, come out on top. She's not looking at these people as people. That's a really good point. Thank you for making that, Tasha. Yeah.
That's an excellent point. That is an absolutely excellent point. And, you know, Molly has to realize that her love life and her work life, they can't overlap. You know, she has to compartmentalize a little bit better, because I think, to that person's point, you know, she sees everything through an attorney's lens, and you're not always an attorney. Anywho, I'm hopeful, but we'll see. So Issa and Molly's relationship, we don't actually know where it is leaving off, but we do know that in episode 9, Molly sent a message to who she thought was Andrew, to Issa. It insulted Issa. She walked out of their little mini double date, impromptu double date, and they're just not on the same page. And they left that party, understanding they're just not on the same page and that they needed some time apart. We are actually able to see them sit down together at the end of this episode. I'm not sure what to make of it. Maybe during our predictions, we can kind of talk about it more, but the fact that they made a choice to meet up is a positive sign, I think. But Issa's grown a lot, and Issa's a different person. And to Carla's point, Molly just still hasn't evolved. So I think, unless anybody has anything they want to say about that, there's not a whole lot, in my opinion, to dissect, but we just have to wait. Anybody want to chime in?
I just have one quick thing to say about that. It broke my heart when that happened, when they were standing on that curb and you saw Issa get in that car and just, like, she was just on the verge of having like a good old breakdown cry. That broke my heart. But then fast forward to the following episode where they meet up at their favorite restaurant, and she's like, I'm glad you came. And she's like, I'm glad you called, because at the end of the day, they are best friends and they have always been there for each other through thick and thin, ugly, pretty, and all that in between. So the fact that they're going to sit there and now have this conversation with the two people that they feel the most comfortable with was actually kind of encouraging.
I would agree. I think it is encouraging. And I guess we'll just have to wait till next season to find out. Ken, anything you want to add?
Yeah, let's talk about cell phone etiquette and text messaging. Before you press send, why did you do that? It broke my heart as well. Like, these are best friends. Like, and you're not going to talk to each other. Like, y'all been talking around this entire situation. And I was like, okay, well, they're going to talk it out before she leaves. And they're just like, just throwing it away. Like, okay. Like, this is some like one night stand or something. So I think like, yeah, I did not like the fact that we have not seen them in this kind of battle or going at each other. So the fact that we don't have a lot of their background information is kind of like weirding me out. Like, okay, well, when did it get this bad? But Issa and Molly meeting at Mercado restaurant, the same place where in the first episode or the pilot episode, that was another tender moment. And I know they definitely worked that out. Like, definitely.
Yeah, and shout out to all the restaurants that were in this episode. We saw Gusado's, which is a real spot in LA that I love. No promos, but I'm just saying, if you guys are in LA, check out Gusado's. There was some really great just cameos from the local spots in LA. So we are getting a little short on time. I hate to say that when we've gone through 10 episodes this season, but we have to be mindful. So let's just get down to it. I'm going to need like 4 more of these. Lawrence comes over. He walks in the door. And he gave her a kiss, but I could see it in his eyes that there was something wrong. And before she could even butter her toast, this African-American man wraps up his lips to tell her what I have known for quite a while, that canola oil, which was trending last night on Twitter, people were confused on Twitter, like, why is canola oil trending? Canola oil had the nerve to show up at his house in the most matronly of off-white cream-colored combo, cardigan and turtleneck, to tell him that after being married to a man and not wanting a child, that you now are carrying this baby under this off-white combo set and you plan to keep it. You guys, when I tell, like, first of all, shout out to the way they framed it. So we never heard Lawrence say, Kendola is pregnant. I wish they had played that out a little bit more. But we saw every bit of emotion on both sides.
And I tell you, I drank hard. I drank hard.
Let me just say something. The way that that was edited, where they cut between everybody talking, that was freaking brilliant. I loved that. So I felt like this last episode, I was watching like a short indie film. It was the bomb. It was so great. But to speak to what you were saying, McCall, about that whole situation, I told y'all, when she called that night and was blowing up his phone, at some point we were discussing a booty call. And what did I say? I said, ain't no chick calling that late at night for no booty call. She's probably pregnant.
Not when you're
dead. That.
Not when you're grown and have a retirement. Not
no,
when,
hell no.
And you
hell
know.
Hell no. But this is the thing. She probably could. And this is going to bring up a really touchy subject, because abortion rights and abortion issues in this country are very touchy right now. They're trying to roll back Roe versus Wade. So we got that lurking. You know, we have all this stuff that's lurking in the shadows when we come back for season 5. So I'm kind of glad that they kind of like left it on the hook. But the way homegirl handled that, that was foul. And what was even more foul was the way that he went to Issa. Like, first of all, you and Issa, y'all been through the fire. And then you're going to expect homegirl to not only going to another city for a 45-minute flight away, but then she got to deal with somebody else carrying his child. That's a lot. Like she said, that's a lot.
And Carla, before I just kick it to everybody else, think about it. He was with Issa for, I want to say, was it 5 years? I mean, they had years together. He hasn't even been with Kendola for 6 months. You're telling me you don't know how to wrap it up and she don't know how to swallow a pill?
Look, he had been sleeping. I'm surprised somebody didn't say they was pregnant before now, because this whole season, he was getting his groove on tight this whole entire season. So the fact that somebody didn't come up before now and say, yo, sorry, I'm preggers, what you gonna do about it, is actually very surprising.
And as soon as he said that, I was like, what in the Melanie, Duran, and Janae is going on? For anybody that is a fan of the game, it's just like, wow, we're going to follow this storyline? Like, that was my immediate thought. Like, damn, Derwin. I mean, Lawrence, you know, like, damn. And also with canola oil, I think it shows a lot about her character as a woman. Like, you were married to your husband and didn't want the baby. Then, like, less than 6 months, you have a baby with this guy that you don't even want to be with, but then it's her choice. And like she said, like, what I got of it is that abortion is not an option for her. That's what I got out of her comment. And she's like, whether you're going to be here for the baby or not, you can be as involved as you want to be. But I'm going to have this baby, whether you want me to or not. But yeah. And Issa said, this is too much. All I thought about was that meme. With the talking about this too much, like,
this too much. This is too much.
We just got back together.
And an abortion is not an option for Kendola. Hell, clearly, birth control pills weren't an option for Kendola. I mean, Kendola, you play a role in this too. And I will say this, I'm gonna let Mia just close this out with her opinion, but I just want to say, you know, Lawrence was very insulting with the "is it mine?" Like, if I liked Lawrence before, I damn sure don't like him now. Because I almost said a bad word, but you got a lot of nerve questioning who she pregnant by. Y'all ain't been broke up but 2 weeks, okay? You've been laid up under her for a few months at this point. You know that's yours. Mia, say what you got to say.
I mean, what is there left to say? You guys, you covered everything. Like, I was yelping. I literally said, what? Excuse me? I was screaming this entire scene. But I mean, I think that was, I can't believe he asked that. That was what I was hung up on. I couldn't move past it. I had to rewind it because I literally could not believe he asked, is that my baby? And I just don't like how he approached it too with Issa, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like he didn't really give her an option. Like, you need to sit down and think about this. Like, do you want to be there for your son or your daughter? Do you need to somehow be with Kendola? Like, do you need to be there? You just need to take a breath, Lawrence. You're jumping around. And this is what happens. He was in the middle and he was like waiting to see if he wanted to be with Kendola, waiting to see if he wanted to be with Issa. And now look, and like, he's already just like, yeah, Issa, no, it's you. which I love because, you know, I love Lawrence, but I think he needed to take a second before he went. And everyone's just hopping to tell everybody everything all of a sudden in this show now, when it was taking so long before, but now they're up here just having these conversations back to back to back to back to back. I'm like, you guys need to sit and think. Think about what you're doing. Think about what's happening. Take a breath. Because it's how people get hurt.
Take a breath. So I will say this. I want to give a shout out to a gentleman named Kevin on Instagram. He sent me a direct message. I'm like, who's a sliding in my DM? And I'm like, oh, somebody. Shout out to you, Kevin. So Kevin sent me a DM and let me know that Kendola was pregnant. I hadn't seen the show at this point. So I prepared. I made me a nice drink and some other things to go along with it because I, first of all, y'all know I saw this coming. So shout out to you, Kevin, for just, you know, being a supporter and just getting me prepared to watch that scene because I needed something to go with it. Lawrence is full of it. And he told Issa that he and Kendola are still working it out and figuring out what their plan is. I feel like you need to have that plan figured out by the time you go talk to Issa because you're playing it both ways again. And this is why y'all can have the Lawrence Hive. I don't need him. Does that baby be as involved in his
life? He just needs guidance.
And I think that baby would be better off if he wasn't around because he ain't worth it. So you got
Lawrence is figuring it out. Lawrence is figuring it out. And Issa, she had her good indica. I'm assuming that was an indica she smoked after she heard that news, and she was chill, and they gonna work it out, or they gonna figure it out. So not too much on Lawrence. He got it. He's working on it.
So before we wrap up, let's do a prediction to go into season 5. Can I get some prediction music, please, while I sip on this Mo?
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right, I'm gonna throw it off. Carla, you tell me your prediction first, on the spot.
I feel like when we hit up the premiere episode of season 5, we're gonna catch up on this conversation that he's having with Issa and figure out, you know, where she's gonna allude to in terms of her decision and where his decision is gonna be in terms of whether he wants to be there for a father, be there as a father for his baby with Kendola. And then we're also going to see how Molly and Issa's relationship plays out. We'll see what happens with Derek and Tiffany. And, you know, Kelly was kind of on the DL this season for most of it. So we'll probably see some shenanigans with her as well.
Okay. I like it. I like it. Kenneth Weir, prediction.
I will say my prediction is break babies are not deal breakers. So I'm not going to say that Issa wants to be with, if she chooses to go this long distance relationship to San Francisco and to be with Lawrence and to look past that, it might be very hard, but break babies are not deal breakers. We have Ludacris, D-Wade. I mean, there's a lot of people all the time that have these break babies. Not saying I endorse that. I don't endorse that. However, it happens a lot. It happens a lot.
Not in my world. Mia, what do you think? What's coming next?
I think life is going to bring Issa and Molly back together. I think they're going to make up. I think they both have their issues. And that's the thing is we love them. They're both a little bit selfish. Molly way more than Issa. But I think Molly and Andrew, that's going to be over. So that's why she is more willing to talk to Issa in that last scene. And I think Issa clearly needs someone to talk to about all this Lawrence stuff. I don't know if Lawrence will move. I don't know if he's going to end up going to San Francisco. I don't know what's going to happen between them, but I think Issa's going to try to make it work with him, and Kendola will be around, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Hell, he better take that job in San Francisco. He got child support now. He need one.
That's true.
Take a new job. Here's what I think. Issa and Lawrence, I wholeheartedly believe should be done. I believe they will be done. I believe that Lawrence will be written out by middle of next season. He will be officially written out as he should have been a long time ago. Number two, Issa and Molly, I do think we'll get on the right page. I'm not sure what that will look like, but they will get on the right page. Andrew and Molly, that's done. That's been done. Put a fork in it. And I will say this about Tiffany and Derek. We don't know exactly. I mean, we know that Tiffany is displaying the signs of postpartum depression, but I actually think that there's more to it. I think that Tiffany might be pregnant again, and she's probably feeling the pressure that, hell, I can't handle the one I have now. And now I'm pregnant with the second one. You got Irish twins. I think that's appropriate. Is that politically correct? I don't know. But you guys, it's been a real pleasure to hang out with you all. Again, whenever we get back to LA, I want to have a drink, a glass of champagne with every last one of you. But between now and probably 2021, our fans need to know where to find you, how to find you, and where you'll be at. So Mia, let them know where you're going to be at. Carla, let them know where you'll be at. And Kenneth Ware, let them know where the Kim folk can find you.
Thanks for tuning in this season, y'all. I'm Mia. You can find me on Twitter at Hot Mess Mia, because it's always a hot mess over there, on Instagram at Yours Truly Mia. And I have a book coming out actually on Saturday. So if you want to buy it, you can follow me, get all the info there, or go to buymeabravo.com. Thank you.
Hey, y'all. I am the Curvy Critic. You can find me across all social media platforms at that handle. You can also find me every Sunday over at Black Hollywood Live doing the Curvy Critic with Carla Renata. I'm going to have Billy Porter over there as my guest this Sunday. So hop on over there and check us out.
Yeah.
Yes, and you can find me on Meet Kenneth Ware on all platforms, or you can hop over to kenfolk.com. That's with two N's, and holler at me, find out everything that's happening in my world. Mia, shout out to the book. I know, Carla, you already have a book out, so shout out to y'all for that.
And
I'm not writing a book. I'm just going to take joy with this Moet. You guys, it's been an absolute pleasure. Make sure to follow AfterBuzz TV across the board. Like, comment, subscribe. We have a ton of shows. We're going to keep the conversation going about Black Lives Matter. It's been an honor. It's been a pleasure. Thank you all. We'll see you all next season for season 5 of Insecure. Peace.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.